Well, hello, everyone. I'm Austin Slater. Welcome to the Deeper Podcast. I'm here with Dan Kennis. Dan, it's great to see you again.
Yes, good to be with you, Austin.
It's wild because I feel like there has been like 2 weeks since Christmas is kind of how this feels like. It's been a go, go, go spring. We're almost to the end of the ministry season, aren't we?
We are. And I think it is partly because Easter fell so late this year that, yeah, we come out of Easter and it's now we're just about in May. And so, yeah, a lot of our ministries, some of them have already wrapped up here at Friendship. Some are just going to be concluding here in the next week or two. So it is, yeah, all of a sudden this, we're transitioning towards summertime, which is, has a different feel and pace to it. So
very much. I always love summertime. Again, like if you've listened to this for any amount of time or if you've talked to me at all in person, you know I'm a summer guy. I like the sun. I like the warmth. But it is a very different pace. So be tuned, listeners, for different things that we might be doing differently this summer, different events, different opportunities to serve. We're in the brainstorming process right now, and we got a lot of good ideas percolating. So just keep your eyes out for that. But to get to the meat of this, Dan, what did we talk about on Sunday?
Yeah, a little bit of a different week. Yeah, week after Easter, you know, where do we go here? And because of the timing with toward the end of the ministry season, what series do we do? So we're not really doing a series right now, but we focus this week on service. And we noted that it was kind of volunteer appreciation week, so perfect time to acknowledge, give thanks, and encourage the service and volunteer work that goes on in our Friendship community. And so we were in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he kind of really commissions his disciples. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and that call to service, and just highlighted that's not even just a call, it's kind of a reunion with who we're made to be. This is how we are to function, what we're made to do. We're created in advance for this kind of work. And so just talked about that, you know, and that Jesus really affirms that there's a lot of meaning behind this. It has impact and the encouragement then to keep at it, you know, and keep serving. And we just highlighted along the way the many, many different ways the people here at Friendship are serving in different capacities, ministries, all kinds of things.
I was going to say, it takes, what, like 90-something volunteers to have a church service go like it normally does, I believe?
It's a high number. Yeah. It is, more than probably most of us would think when you start factoring in nursery and greeting and ushers and worship leading downstairs and upstairs. And, yeah, there's just a lot that happens, prayer, you know, so it's a good thing, and we certainly want to hold that up. So that's kind of what we're doing this week to encourage that and to also feel like, yeah, this is what we're also supposed to be doing as God's people.
Right, yeah, and it's, I love the, you know, yeah, this is what we're made for. This is kind of what we do. And obviously some of us, like, I'm super passionate about the, like, yes, let's get our hands dirty, let's get busy. But this is just, you know, it kind of validates that for me. This is super important. But obviously, like, there gets to be a lot of different questions around, like, what does it look like to be in service? Where do I serve? How do I serve? So I kind of wanted to dedicate this deeper to talking a little bit about what it means to be practically doing some service stuff here. So first off, what if the needs I see, the areas that are around that I'm like, oh, that needs, you know, that needs, whether it's at Friendship or outside of Friendship, what if the needs we see don't match up with our knowledge base or passions? So say, for example, well, I'm like, oh, we need someone to run slides, and I have no idea how to do, or camera. That's the one that probably scares more people.
Yeah,
like,
sure, sure.
Is like, we need someone to run the camera. I have no idea how to do that. I'm not super passionate about it. Or we need Sunday school teachers. I've never taught a day in my life. I don't know how I would do that. Is it, would some, and then the question that I sometimes had and have even is, isn't it kind of better sometimes to let someone more qualified or more passionate than I take the lead on this? How do we juggle these issues?
That's a good question. And I think there's probably a couple of things to take into consideration in a situation like that. For one part, as it comes to the gifts God has given to us, we are always learning more about that. Some things become clear even when we're young. You have a knack for this, right? You think this way, you're made this way. You know, it becomes clear. You're good at teaching. You've got gifts in that, or you're encourager, whatever it might be. But there's other gifts that we might say lie dormant for times. And we don't realize until we get in a spot where, oh, actually God's working through this. And I think a lot of people here at Friendship would attest. I've heard it, I know, from council members who thought, oh, I can't do that. But then they get in the role and God provides and they see, oh, they do have some gifts. So that would be one encouragement to not just excuse yourself immediately from like, well, I have no tech skills, so how can I help Austin with anything tech? If you've never even tried, maybe you don't know. And maybe you're thinking in your head what this will be and you don't really know until you get into it. It might not be tech as you're thinking of it. It might be more mechanical and you're pretty good at that. You know, I mean, it just depends. Or, yeah, you think I'm not a good teacher, but you've never actually really entered into that. You might be surprised how God has some teaching gifts in the right situation that he would bring forth from you. I would say, on the other hand, sometimes you've had experience where you've stepped into those roles and you've seen God say, like, no, that's not how I made you. I need you over in this area. And I think it's fair at that time to say, when you see that opening, maybe that isn't then what I'm supposed to be doing. However, you could also then be encouraging maybe others you've seen who have some of those gifts to think about those roles. That also is serving in the life of the church, to say, point out to myself, to Austin, to somebody else, like, hey, you have some gifts here. Maybe you don't see it, but I do.
Well, and some people have the gift of networking and connecting people. Absolutely. I know there's some people in my life who I'm like, wow, if I ever need anything, like, they might not know how to do it, but they'll know someone who does.
Yes, and underrated, perhaps, gift, that relational kind of, and someone who loves doing that,
yeah,
like putting the pieces in place, so to speak. But that is, like, we're called to encourage each other in the gifts, and some of that might be at a time saying, hey, this needs there. I know it needs filling, but I know that's not me. And praying about, or maybe from what you've seen, discerning, oh, I wonder if this person, because they just might be thinking, okay, God, I'm feeling a little nudge, but you're going to have to push a little harder. And then here you come along, mm-hmm, and you say, hey, I was thinking about this for you. And then all of a sudden the wheels are turning. Huh. Maybe this wasn't just a random thought. Maybe this is the Holy Spirit pushing me toward that role. So I think there is the part where sometimes we are called to experiment, if you will, go into things, even if we're like, I don't know, because God might have gifts that we just haven't seen yet within us. And other times, too, to exercise maybe a gift of putting others in a position to think about maybe they have the gifts for that role.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So that's in the, you know, like, that's in a more traditional, like, volunteer context that we've been kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But service as believers comes in all sorts of different ways, even sometimes outside of the church,
mm-hmm,
itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's to our families. It's to our communities. So say I'm someone who, I've got kids in sports and they're in school. I've got a full-time job. I've got, you know, our home to take care of, maybe some medical stuff going on. I'm maybe involved in a nonprofit or two or three or four, depending,
mm-hmm,
on who you are.
Mm-hmm.
How do we balance our call to serve the community that we're in,
mm-hmm,
with our call to serve the community that we're in,
yeah,
in the church?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I guess a second related question, if you can do that afterwards, when do we say no,
mm,
to additional service?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know when I'm like, I'm going to burn out? And how do we handle that?
Right. It's a good question, and we go through seasons in life where things look quite a bit different, where our bandwidth is pretty full. Like you said, you know, I know even for us right now, we have kids that we're heavily involved. They're getting to that age where they have more things on their schedule, and they're not driving themselves or anything like that, so we're involved with that and being a part of it and still maybe coaching, doing that. Some listening have parents who are aging and need a lot of health assistance, and you're heavily involved there, and sometimes you still have kids on the other end that are you're working with and are still growing up. And so life can be, let alone with work and that too, pretty busy. And so I think at times you do have to be careful about, well, just being honest, where can I actually pour in well to something? Yeah, I don't want to be overly heavy-handed about saying, like, oh, this is exactly what it should look like.
Right.
I guess a general principle I tend to work with, and it goes to, like, giving even financially, and then out to, I think, where we give our time and energy. I think if we're part of a local church, that is our first call to think about how do we connect with that faith community there before I maybe give all time to outside of that into the broader community. But again, I wouldn't press on that, because there could be fulfillment, obviously, in both. And there's a call, as Austin said, to both, right? And be involved in different ministries and helping the sick, the poor, the lame, the orphan, you know, all in different ways in our larger community. Maybe, this is something to think about, maybe the church needs to reestablish some of those connections ministry-wise in general, so it doesn't seem as disconnected too.
That's actually something that's really interesting. And just to make sure I'm understanding you right, so kind of saying, like, we've got all these nonprofits doing great things. We've got all these different orgs doing great things. And the church has kind of stepped back from some of that. So what if we were to sort of bring them back under our wings, start a ministry for the poor here at Friendship? That's sort of what you're saying?
Yeah, or even just more intentional connections maybe with some of those nonprofits. They know, I connect with a lot of them, right? They want partnerships with the local church. A lot of them aren't looking to just be just this own superstar on their own. They know, like, we want to do this within the ministry of the church for a lot of reasons. You know, they need to function, you know, under a 401c3 kind of activity. But yeah, even intentional connections to say, and I think we try to do that at Friendship, like, oh, with the Doc Ministry here, or with Roosevelt Park, or you can name some others. These are missions, ministries we support, people we support. So when we are connecting there, there is more of a church and community connection there. But yeah, even like with giving, we think about giving to the Lord. I think there's some principle to, like, well, that starts with the local church. If I'm thinking about whatever percent I'm giving back, that's the place to start before I maybe start thinking about outside of that, because this is a community I'm committed to caring for, doing, you know, ministry work in. So that maybe can help think of the balance at times. But again, I don't want to be heavy-handed in that.
It's not like there's an explicit formula for this.
No, no. And there are, and let's be honest, we can take for granted, we live in a community where there are a lot of good ministries, you know, extensions of the church. You know, we think of, we just mentioned a couple, but like in our area, Byron Community Ministries and BICE, these are doing, you know, work with food pantries and helping those in need in our community. Not every place has a lot of that set up. And so maybe in some ways the church is forced to take up that mantle themselves. But we have a lot of ample opportunities here and in a smaller community with people we know and other people from other church communities. And so it's not just the same here as maybe if you're listening and around the world in a different place. It might look quite a bit different to think about, yeah, how do I serve my community? There might not be anything there to serve the poor or the hungry. Or, you know, you might need to invent something almost, as it were, to be doing that. All that to say is it's good for us to be involved, and we need to find ways to do that. And if you are involved in listening and you say, oh, I'm pouring a lot of time into, I'm volunteering at BICED right now, and but I'm not, you know, on any of the committees at church. Don't hear me saying that that's, well, that's wrong. You need to flip that around, because that's good service. You're taking and being the hands and feet of Jesus there, and that's certainly an extension of the ministry of the church that we're called to be doing. I think to Austin's second point, we can't overload in this and then become ineffective in what we're trying to be doing because we just don't have the bandwidth. We're overextended. We become stressed. We're not relating to people as we should be, or thinking in the ways we're not, maybe start thinking of people not as people, but as just things to fix, and that's not good. So there are times that we can and should say no. And I am not the best person at this myself all the time. I've learned over the years, time to say, like, no, that's maybe going back to that first question, that's not what I'm called to do. That's not, I've tried, and it's not, it's not a good thing for me. Here's where I belong. And there's times to say, like, I know I have to prioritize things in my life, and if I'm adding this into what's already there, it's going to cause some strain that doesn't belong, that wouldn't be good, wouldn't be healthy, maybe in my marriage, with my relationship with my kids, or with the other things I'm trying to lead or participate in as well. And we always, of course, we want to be gracious in that, but I think everybody's understanding, like, we can't do it all. And this is where I think some of this is answered by what we were talking about Sunday, when we realize this is all of our purpose. It's not just for a few people who are really gifted. It's for all of us. And when we're all stepping up, doing different roles, using our gifts, suddenly that need to overextend becomes less, because all the body parts are functioning. And I'm not trying to be a foot when I'm an ear. And you're not trying to be a heart when you're a lung. You know what I mean?
That's, right. Yeah,
so
yeah, I think
that can alleviate that. So really, some of this is an encouragement to say, some of us need to say no. Some of us might need to say yes a little bit more. Or maybe it's saying no to other things that are more just about ourselves and serving ourselves, and saying yes then to ways that we can pour into the life of God's people and the community around us and those needs. So that maybe is a challenge for some who might be listening to think about what can I be saying yes to. Maybe at times we are saying yes to so many things in a service standpoint, we're overwhelmed. A lot of times our tendency is to say a lot of yes things to ourselves and more no to the right. service pieces. So trying to balance that also, I think gets into your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One thing, we've kind of skirted around this a little bit already, but I'd love to like address it head on, and it's a tricky topic to address sometimes, but what it looks like to serve with providing resources. Oftentimes, this can be financially. So last weekend, we had the Youth Benefit Dinner, which was an incredible event. It was so good. If you weren't able to go this year, try next year, because it's really just, it's a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see both sides of service here. On the one hand, we had the people and the students leading worship and helping organize this event and serving food. And on the other hand, we had people who were serving through the gifts of their resources, able to raise money to help this youth group thrive and to grow the lives of these young people, which is really so critical to what we do and what we're called to do. I guess, is there a difference in serving with resources versus time? What if we have, say, a lot of resources to give, but very little time to spend getting our hands dirty?
Mm-hmm.
How do we, and again, this is a really complicated and messy question, you know, but how do we balance this?
It's a good question. I think it's worth talking about. And some of it might be understanding, and I know what you meant talking about resources and versus time, but I would say understanding that all of these things are resources we're given, right? God gives us time. He gives us energy, gives us maybe financial ability, gives us property or physical strength. Anything we have, right, is a resource God has given to us that can be used for his service. So that mindset, and then part of it is looking at, yeah, what do we have right now? And sometimes that could be an everyday waking up, like, God, how am I going to serve you and manage well what you have given me in my life this day? And some of that's more in a season of life. We just talked in the previous question about time. Sometimes in life, we have more of it, perhaps, more of that resource. Maybe our kids have grown up. Work is coming to retirement. Suddenly have more time. How might I use that? Use that resource now God's entrusted me with that I have more of than I did before. Sometimes we do have a lot of financial material resources. What does that look like? How do I use that? There's a lot of people I talk to here who have been blessed that way, and I appreciate some of the intentional thinking. How do we use that? How is this tied in with the kingdom? Others have a lot of teaching resources, are relational. They get along well with people. They know how to talk with people. They know how to teach and mentor. That's a resource you've been given. You might not have a dime to your name, but you can really give through that and really uplift. So seeing the value in all of that, and then I know. I think what you're getting at too, Austin, is there a time where I can maybe excuse myself from being more at that hands-on, as you mentioned, you have a personal maybe bent that way, right? To say like, well, I can just give financially. And certainly that's a good thing. But there might be other times where you also need, you're being called to get involved and mentor someone or hammer some nails or whatever it might be in a more hands-on way. I think as a church, because we have a lot of material resources, even when it comes to connecting with our ministries and missions, we can go to that default, maybe, if that's a fair way of saying it, of saying, oh, yeah, we're going to give, we're going to support. Absolutely needed. I know those ministries are very thankful for that. And, you know, but there might be times, and there are a lot of people, let me say that, from our congregation, I know that are.
Absolutely.
And have the space and have the resource to be able to do that. And there's some times in our lives where we can't. You are injured. You're ill. Well, you know, the body's breaking down. We can't always do some things physically and be involved. But some of us certainly can, and we don't want to just pull ourselves away sometimes from that close relating, maybe with the ministry or with a person being involved on that level. I would say we have so much bandwidth for that too, and that's fair. But if I'm always excusing myself of that, even if I'm always just, even if I have the opportunity to give and do that, I can kind of separate myself sometimes from the actual ministries and people and that kind of thing involved. So
right. Well, and like, I think it's one of those things where like it just requires us to, you know, do check-ins. Be like, spend a few, you know, a few weeks just praying about where we're at, no matter where we're at, whether our hands we're really involved in this with like our time or really involved with it with our finances. Take a moment and evaluate where we're at, where God's leading us, and, you know, trying to make sure, you know, am I excusing myself from donating of my financial resources because I'm doing so much time, or vice versa.
Right,
just trying to
right,
make,
yes.
You know, just doing those check-ins is important because all of this service is important.
Yeah. Listening to where the Spirit is leading, you know, us, right? Because I don't want to make it sound like there's not, of course, there's investment when we're giving into something, of
huge,
course, and
yeah.
There's connections, and but there's different ways, right? And a lot of us have multiple resources. God is, He hasn't just given us material resources, He's given us relational resources and relational capital or time to do that as well. And so, how do we balance those things out and uphold all of it, I believe, as ways we can be serving the Lord and His kingdom? So,
yeah. What are we looking forward to in this upcoming week?
This week's an exciting one because we have our youth service, and our youth are going to be leading us in a variety of ways, and Pastor Eric will be leading in the message, which will connect with what our students have been talking about all year. So it might be a little bit redundant for them in a way, but I think good for the congregation to hear about that as they've been talking about being altered as we come believe in the Lord, how he's shaping us, he's forming us, he's transforming us. In His own image for things like service and living His way. But looking forward to that. They usually bring some exciting energy to the service and leading in song, but also in prayer in different ways. And so a chance to, yeah, really hold up the gifts of our students and encourage them, of course, as well, and also get a little window into what they've been talking about and learning and growing in throughout this past year.
Very exciting. I'm looking forward to that. Well, thank you, Dan, for the work you do for your service. Thanks to all of you who listen. I know many of you who listen personally are super involved in all of your various ministries. So thank you for what you do here at Friendship. Thank you for what you do out in the world. This is what we're called to do, is we're called to be servants. And so I want to acknowledge that a lot of you listening are already super involved with that, so I want to thank you for that. If you're interested in getting more involved, we'll have some opportunities coming up. Also, feel free to reach out to me. I know I've talked to some of you about even coming on the podcast. But there's so many good ways that we can serve, so I'm very excited to do that in the summer and in our upcoming year. So go with peace, all of you, and we will see you all next time.